I'm Ryan from the Dad.io podcast, a show dedicated to dorky dads everywhere. Part of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other dadalicious geeky shows at GonnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where once again, we are looking at a video game based on a comic property and how well it represents that source material. Today, I have Matt and Thad from Making Nerds Cringe. Matt and Thad, how are y'all today?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Doing pretty swell. Yourself?
I'm so excited because you guys gave me the wonderful excuse to watch this really obscure cartoon that I have never heard of, called some unknown later season of Batman the Animated Series.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and it was our pleasure.
Well, thank you for letting me know that that happened. Like, normally we don't get too much into the behind the scenes things when it's a cartoon like this. But I do want to point out real quick that depending on what source you're looking at, if you're going to go back and look at the show so you can understand what we're talking about here, I have seen it represented as season 3, season 4, and season 5.
Really?
Yep. On HBO Max, it is listed as season 3. Some places are season 4. And I guess they're squishing a couple seasons of the Batman Superman hour-long cartoon together for that. And I've seen some of season 5 because they're counting both seasons of the Batman Superman thing separate.
Are you telling me that I could have watched it on my HBO Max?
Yes, you could have.
Oh, no.
Yes. As long as we're giving bad news to this guy, I'm in all night. Please keep it coming.
I had to start it over probably 3 times because I went and searched. It's like, oh, look, here it is. And it took me until I went and looked up episode titles before I realized that season 3 on HBO Max is what is technically officially known as the new Batman Adventures.
Okay.
Yeah. It's listed as new Batman Adventures some places, yeah. Just like he's saying.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody who is roughly our age, I think that's as definitively as we need to put it, because I don't believe that time works this way anymore. We all know about Batman, the animated series. What was your experience with it growing up?
As a kid, well, I was a little bit older. I briefly watched it, but do you know what I feel about the animated series in general is after the 2 horrible Val Kilmer and George Clooney movies, I think the animated series is probably the best product that come out for Batman in that time frame. And I did watch it even though I was a little bit older.
Yeah, for me, I didn't necessarily like sit down and watch episode after episode. I'm not quite as old as him, but I was a little older and I did watch it. But I remember at times, not like specific scenes, but how captivating the cartoon seemed to be, because it just seemed to have a different feel than a lot of like cartoons. It wasn't like super cartoonish, and I'm not talking as far as like the art. It was like the dialogue, the storyline. It for me, like, and I do remember this, like as a kid, I was like, oh really? You know, like the Joker was a menace. Like he was legit a menace. Like, I was afraid of him as a cartoon. You know, it was like a guy where I'm going, man, if I was Batman, that's a psychopath right there. And that was just, to me, it was captivating because, you know, I wasn't into like Adult Swim or anything at the time. So it was kind of like that edginess in cartoons that I hadn't really seen before. If that makes sense to you. So it's always been a series that stood out to me, even though it's been something I have limited exposure to, and it's kind of obscure, as you alluded to earlier.
Yeah, and Mark Hamill did all the vocals for the Joker, even season 4.
Yeah, as I've said here on the show, I'll go ahead and say it here again. I didn't really watch the show growing up, and I have no good reason why. Like, I must have just been busy every time it came on or something. So this is one that I came to late. But the fact that it isn't super little kitty like that made it absolutely no problem for me to go back and watch it.
Yes.
Yes, especially season 4. Because, well, like I said before, after the third season, they pulled off Fox and went to WB, and the violence ramped up a lot. For season 4, there were things that they could do that I'm assuming they wanted to do, as far as more blood, gun fire. I said before that I was reading through some notes, and they could fire guns in season 1, 2, and 3, but they couldn't actually hit people with the gunfire. And right off the bat, in episode 1, Batman's get shot right at the end of the episode, and it was awesome. I feel it was like a big middle finger to Fox in some way.
Like, look what we can do now. Look at us. We can do cool stuff. And yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying that being facetious, like, that's probably the vibe that I got as a teenager. You know, when I'd sit down and I'm eating a bowl of cereal or something, and it happened to be on, and I didn't just want to turn the channel because I'm like, wow, this is pretty dark. I'm into it. Give me more. And I didn't watch a lot of it, as you said, but still, some of the episodes that I did see, I do remember that sticking out to me.
I'm kind of a little upset because I probably would have, if it was like season 4, I probably would have watched it a lot more.
I mean, that's the fun part about the whole series, I think, is that it's good right from the beginning. And it's different good because you do have the Fox censorship. They're trying to keep everything kid friendly. I've talked to people about it here before, more of with the focus on the X-Men animated series. But, you know, you're looking at the same channel here. So you have the same set of censor board people who are looking at everything. And you don't really have the mutant stuff to hide things behind with Batman like you do in X-Men. Everybody is strictly human, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then we get introduced to little Tim Drake, and Dick Grayson turns into Nightwing during that series, which was amazing. Nightwing was great. I don't know if you got into him or not, but that mullet was amazing.
You can't go wrong with a mullet, am I right? Like, I mean, you can go really wrong with a mullet, but you know you just can't go wrong with a mullet.
That was the first thing my wife noticed when he popped on, was him in the mullet. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, I hope it's just weird shadows. And no, that is a straight up 90s mullet.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And to think it's coming back. What kind of world are we living in?
Actually, right before we kicked on, I watched the origin episode of Nightwing, and that was a great episode. I don't know if you caught that one or not, but he was still Robin at the time, and Batman busts through the window and starts shaking down like this low-level villain, and Dick Grayson It was like, what are you doing, Batman? And he's like, and he just walks out. And actually, at the end of the episode, he punches Batman.
Like
socks him.
In
like,
the face?
I'm done being Robin.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a defining moment.
I jumped straight to the last season for getting into this because I wanted to make sure I saw stuff that was at least nominally game focused. So I didn't see that part. I jumped straight into, and HBO Max has it weird because they have the Christmas episode first. So it's right. Straight into, we know who everybody is. Harley and Poison Ivy going through and taking control of Bruce Wayne and using him to use his credit cards and get themselves a bunch of presents.
Right. That was a great episode.
That sounds about like the type. I mean, that sounds like 2/3 of the Gotham City Sirens.
But that one has Tim Drake Robin just in there. And in theory, I know exactly who he is and everything. And then later they kind of get some more origin-y things. So you can tell they're not really in good story order. But that's just how cartoons were back then.
So they don't care about continuity?
No, not at all. Nobody cares.
No, they just jumped around. Like, they didn't really start. They started with little Tim Drake as little Robin. You know, yeah. Right into the middle of a story.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
No, the episodes, I mean, back then, it's just how it works. Everybody would get them, but then things would get finished faster. They'd air them out of order because people at the networks didn't realize that you had a continuous story going. They were used to these one-off episodes of cartoons where they could just play them in whatever order they wanted, so that's what they did.
Yeah. Damn corporate America. That's kind of what they're doing, a little bit. I mean, and I get it, too, because, like, sometimes an illustrator or somebody will fall a little bit further behind a deadline, and then it's like, well, that's not done. That was supposed to come out, but we need something to come out. We got this on deck. Boom. Slide that in there. Kind of what I'm gathering.
Pretty much exactly that. But this is definitely a good series that I think people should go back and check out. I would suggest starting at the beginning of season one, because jumping into season new Batman Adventures, whatever number, if you don't know what's going on, you might be a little lost, but if you know Batman, you should be able to pick it up pretty well.
Yeah, everybody knows kind of the origin of Batman and what he's all about. But I think I might want to go pick up 1 through 3 on these now after watching season 4. Or check them out on HBO Max. It's kind of inspired me to be a Batman fan a little bit more.
You know what kind of fired me up? And I know we're talking the cartoon, but just the name of the game. And then when you compare it to the movie that came out, and that one word. You guys know the word I'm talking about. The word that keeps coming out in the new Batman movie. Vengeance. Right? And no, I just thought it was like precisely timed, right?
Well, this is the game is a completely stripped down version of this immersive, awesome show.
I get it. I do get it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just coincidental where I'm like, huh. Vengeance. And it's legit. It's legit. But I initially, like, when we started talking about doing this, I was like, man, I gotta try to find like some physical comics, like comic runs or something that this has something to do with. And I know it's based on the cartoon, but then I'm like, so I kind of went further down the rabbit hole. I'm like, okay, is the comic or the cartoon series based on like a small run of comics or like a 15 of like 75 out of like this run of 120. And that's what totally, no, I know it's not at all. And that really kind of caught me off guard, where I'm like, holy crap, there's this cartoon series that had a game. And I know that's not completely uncommon, but I really thought that there would also be like a hard, you know, a paper version or a physical version of like this universe within the comics. And there wasn't. I don't know if that kind of caught you guys off guard, but it definitely caught me off guard. I did look. I looked for like one single comic or like something based on it, or I don't know. I looked in a lot of different places and I found absolutely nothing.
I don't search for Batman comics.
You're lost, man.
I didn't look this time because I had looked before, but I didn't find anything before either. Like, if you want to stretch it a little bit, you can say Batman the Adventure Continues, but that's more of comics that are also based on the show.
Interesting.
Right, I think there was.
Interesting. Zaya, typically, and I could be completely wrong here because I'm like the guy with like the least professional knowledge when it comes to a lot of the, like the history of, I was really expecting it to kind of flow the other way, to go from like novel, graphic, comic to show to game. And there wasn't that. And I don't know, I'm not trying to get hung up on it, but it really did kind of spin me out, where I'm like, wow, it's a universe that we're all familiar with. So it's not like it's completely based out of nothingness. But it did really kind of catch me off guard. So I had to get the game. I just had to get the game.
No.
No, I did.
After watching the series, the game is absolutely crap. I'm sorry.
You should be sorry. You know, this is why Batman wants to kick your ass.
Well, we're going to go look under the couch and see if we can find Matt's guard while I drop some promos for a few other shows.
Hey, Christy, I had a few questions about a comic if you had a second.
Oh, sure. What comic?
Well, it's a big event crossover, Secret Wars.
Oh, that's a great one. Dr. Doom with godlike powers.
No, that's not the one.
Oh, you mean the older 1985 Secret Wars, where the heroes and villains have to fight for the Beyonder?
No, that's not it either. It's, newer than that.
Maybe you mean Secret War, where the heroes try to overthrow Latveria.
What? No, this one has aliens.
Oh, I got it now. You mean Secret Invasion, with the green aliens called the Skrull?
No, the aliens weren't green.
There's no way. You mean Invasion? That isn't even by Marvel.
Look, we get it. Comic book crossovers are weird and confusing.
With complicated reading orders and lots of characters, even heroes no one has seen for years.
But that's why we're here.
We're Christy and Chris, and on our podcast, Chris's on Infinite Earths, we dive deep into the superhero world's big events and crossovers. We talk about improbable mountain lifting,
superhero mommy issues,
Victorian space vampires,
and we always try to make it light and fun.
So join us every other Friday on Chris's on Infinite Earths,
the podcast where nothing will ever be the same.
Adventures in Aurelia, a D&D podcast with new players to learn alongside.
Adventures in Aurelia, a D&D podcast where everyone has a good time.
Adventures in Aurelia, a D&D podcast that is casual and inclusive.
Adventures in Aurelia, a D&D podcast with lots of lore and creativity.
Adventures in Aurelia, a podcast where five friends sit around the table and record themselves playing Dungeons & Dragons. Find us at adventuresinaurelia.com. That's E-R-Y-L-I-A.
Those are some great shows to check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So you kind of let the cat out of the bag here a little bit. This show is so much better than the game. That's not hard to imagine, though, because of how good the show is.
Right, you're right. No, but as far as the game goes, it's like they take just a tiny little bit there's like six episodes, and they just take a tiny little bit out of this immersive show and just kind of cram it into a level. You know, they don't, there's no Nightwing, there's no Robin in this. All it is Batman and Batgirl. You know, there's no real, and there's so many different villains in the show, like new villains, old villains, just so many different people, and they just like keep it strictly to the Joker, Poison Ivy, Mr. Freeze, and I think that's it.
They went cliche for villains. They went total cliche. They did. No, I noticed that immediately. I'm like, dude, I'm fighting Joker like after like the first freaking, you know, stage. Come on. And he dies, quote unquote, dies, quote unquote, air quotes, dies. Come on.
I actually thought that was really kind of a nice touch in this game where enemies just don't die. They just fall over.
This, I agree. You have to handcuff them or like net them, like you can net them. May I go into like some of the like the gadgets? Okay, so like the game's something else. And I know you don't want to do like a full breakdown. I totally get it. But there were some things like from remembering games around this time appropriately where I was like, man, they nailed some stuff, and then they kind of like they didn't. But the gadgets, like the utility belt, the grappling hook, the bat, you know, the batarangs, the electrical batarangs, the handcuffs, like they did a lot of really cool stuff that I totally think that some of the previous Batman games could have, you know, done better leading up to this and had their own like side scrolling adventure that was great in their own. But there were some definite things that I'm like, I don't know, you know, I could tell right away, like I said, right away when it went from like Joker to like Mr. Freeze, and then it was like Poison Ivy. I'm like, oh, they're going right down popular villains row, and I'm not really into it. You know, give me like Scarecrow, give me somebody we don't see very often, you know, somebody like a one-off, not that Scarecrow is a one-off, but you know, somebody we don't ever see.
Right.
They didn't do that. It was like they went right on down the aisle and picked out the vegetables and then went home. And I wasn't really into that. I do agree with you guys.
Yeah. The game felt empty to me. It just stripped down, empty, a lot of running around. I wasn't too impressed with the gadgets. The only saving grace, I think, in this game are the vehicle levels.
Kick ass, by the way.
Yeah, that was like the Batwing level. I mean, it was so short, but that was the funnest part, I think.
Yeah.
Was the Batwing level. It was just like Star Fox. Exactly.
It did. It played. Literally, you could hit the trigger twice, and it would do the barrel roll, and it would like deflect things coming at you. It was identical, pretty much.
I think it was pretty dang close.
It was good.
Yes.
It was very good. Turn the invert on or off. Yeah, turn it off. It automatically comes on. Turn it off. And if you play with the invert on, you're from Mars. And I don't like you. Because it doesn't make any sense. Up is up. Down is down. Stop trying to confuse things. Anyway. The Batmobile level was pretty cool too. Very difficult. These were extremely challenging levels that... Do they play in the cartoon as well? Like the vehicles and stuff? Yeah. Like what I'm saying is like they borrowed from the cartoon, and what I'm wondering is like were there like those long runs of like using the Batplane?
Yeah.
Or the Bat. Yeah, okay, so that's what I'm asking, because like I spent a lot of time kind of getting familiar like with the game and kind of being like doing that stuff and getting whooped. I do have a huge problem I do have one huge problem. And this is to all the gamers in the world. Okay. In this game, this is the first game that I've ran into like this. Okay, so like when you have a memory card in some of these older systems and it's a disc and it says saving, usually that means saving, correct? Am I right?
I would think so. I would really hope so. Yeah.
Okay, so like I know I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy. Like I'm not out of my mind Arkham Asylum crazy. So we have a problem, a major breakdown in coding.
He's been pulling his hair out about this whole save system for like 2 weeks now.
Now, I grew up original Nintendo, Sega Genesis, all the way up, right? PS4, whatever. Played them all. Pretty much every system, whether it's mine, somebody else's, played multiple games, all sorts of styles of games. So on the GameCube. And what I do like, there was a lot of like, there was checkpoints. The game was difficult, so there's a lot of checkpoints, and I do dig that. And then if you died after the checkpoint, it gave you full health. It didn't just like make you start at like a quarter health, and then basically you're doing a suicide run where you're screwed. So then you could, and it unlimited continues. It was great. But when you wanted to turn the game off and continue for like another day, because we're all busy, what's the two words? And I brought this up earlier to you. What are the two words? When I say it, you might not get it right away. But there's two words. When we don't know if a game is saved because there's no way to actually check in the main menu when you're playing the game, there's no way to check. No way to check. You can't just go in and it's like, aha, it saved my game. There's two words. When you click on it, it's death. Quit game. We all know you don't do it. You just don't do it because you're like, did it save? Like, where do I check to make sure it's safe? And you're like paranoid, right? Because you spent 5 hours after work playing with your 9-year-old. That's me. Trying to kick this game's ass. And we're doing it. And we're like, yo, we're going to save this and pick this up in a couple days. But I'm like, where did it save? And I click quit game. And it kicks me back to the main menu. And when I go into enter game, it shows all the levels that I beat. During the game, it brings up the little disc icon saying saving. Those are the checkpoints. Goes to an automatic video every time. This is pretty straightforward. We've all played a ton of games. So I turn the game off. Turn the whole system off. Turn it off. Okay, we're good. Couple days later, I turn it on. There ain't a damn save. There ain't a one save. There's not a one save. I'm starting back at level one. Yes, it's... Laugh it up. Laugh it up. And I'm going... I just spent 6 hours on a Wednesday. Kicking this game's ass. Why are you doing this to me? Like, why? Because it shows that I saved it under, and I was cliche, and I thought it was funny. My son laughed. It was under BAT. I saved it under BAT bat. It's a memory card, section A, to the left. I got two memory cards. I got plenty of space. And I'm like, why am I back at stage one? So I didn't find this out until after a couple of times of doing this. So I played these levels to the point where I can just run through them. I can do a suicide run in about 10 seconds and I'm done with about 3 episodes, right? You have to actually quit the game, go to the main menu where it is already telling you that it saved, and then click save game and overwrite the saved game that didn't save. It makes no sense. I'm not happy, Chris. I'm not happy. I'm upset about it. I've never seen a game do this before. CD icon. Saving. Generally means it's saving.
It comes up many times.
You seen it?
Yes, it comes up many times during the game.
So when he was over playing just yesterday, just to kind of get his feet wet, right? the game froze, which it hadn't done before. And it's not the game. It's probably the disc, right? But the disc used, it's no big deal. I looked at him because we had played for an hour and a half. And my son and I have already played these levels like four times. So we're like, we're speeding through stuff. I looked at him. I said, the hour and a half we just spent playing this game. I did the hand across the throat. I said, nada. We got nothing. And he was like, shut up, dude. It said it saved like multiple times. I'm like, dude, I've already been through these levels. I have felt this pain multiple times. I'm telling you, it didn't save. That's a problem. I'm just saying. I had to get that out there because my soul is crushed. And I'm not doing well. I'm not doing well, Chris.
We can even twist this back around and make it Batman relevant. Batman would not stand for that kind of inefficiency.
That's correct.
Dude, all the technology that him and Batgirl got going on in that cave, and it tells you it's saving, it should be saving.
Yeah.
But you actually have to quit game, then go to the main menu where it already shows that it's saved and told you within the gameplay that it's saved, and you have to click save and overwrite save. It doesn't make any sense. I've never seen a game do this before.
And this game come out in like 2001, didn't it?
Yes.
Like, this isn't
like, okay, Smash Brothers
old technology.
We talked about Smash Brothers earlier. When you beat a new character, that character gets added to the character pool. You don't have to just go, you know what, I better go save my game. No, it's already just saved.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Melee is an automatic
memory card. Yes. And it doesn't even tell you it's automatic. This game is telling you it's saving, and it isn't. I am not happy. I am not happy. I probably beat the first six levels seven times, dude. Because I'm like, I don't even know how to save, right? And then I didn't Google because I'm like, no, I'm a gamer. It told me it saved. It must have corrupted the save file or something. I turned it off before. Like in the middle of it saving, I corrupted the game file. That's my fault. It wasn't even my fault. Just crappy programming. Not happy.
Well, we can make you even more not happy. This one was developed by Ubisoft Montreal, who has made exactly zero other games that we've looked at on the show so far. And published by Ubisoft proper, who put out Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, which I've looked at already, and this little port of an arcade game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 for the NES.
Which is one of my favorite. I begged you to do that game. You're like, it's already done. I'm like, ah, man, maybe not. Maybe that game is so legit. The game's not really that bad, but the whole save thing, it'll ruin your night. When you're staying up all night, you're eating popcorn, drinking Mountain Dew with your friend, and you're like, dude, we're about to beat this game in one night. We're going to save it. And we're going to pick it back up in the morning. And your buddy's like, it's been telling you the whole time it's saving. Just turn it off. We're going to bed. And you wake up and you turn it on and it starts doing the like clock ticking thing, like the clockwork night. And you're like, oh God, no. Oh God, yes. It didn't save any of it.
I actually watched a playthrough of this that somebody beat it in 2 hours and 45 minutes. So,
well, that's because they had to, because they tried it 15 other times and they couldn't figure out how to save it. Because you seen my son and I go through like three levels in like, no joke, it was like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
But they did have puzzles too in the game, which I think is missing from a lot of recent games. The last most recent one I played that had something like that was Fallout, where you could like crack into the computer code and get like into the security cameras. And it was kind of like a puzzle thing. This one had various like puzzles, and that's pretty badass. Sorry.
Yeah, it's nice to see that detective-y aspect of Batman. Like, I like going and punching villains in the face, but Batman is a detective, and you can't forget about that when you're making these games.
Yes, that is correct. And the aspect of detective does come out with Batman when he interrogates Harley Quinn and That's right. Picked up the keys. Right. Yes. Batman's there in this game.
It's, for sure. And the fighting, like his moves, you can actually get more moves as you play longer. Like he learns more, or like you add more XP, and it automatically like makes your guy, when you hit the buttons together in directions, does like more complicated moves. They're legit straight out of whatever fighting style Batman knows, or the 127 that he knows or whatever, but they're good. They're great.
Yeah, it's just so stripped down compared to the show. I mean, it's really is. They could have thrown Nightwing in there. He was the star of the whole series, and he didn't even make an appearance in the game. I was really upset about that, to be honest.
No, me too. Like, you have Batman, who obviously you have to have Batman in a Batman game. You have Batgirl, kind of, because she's there in cutscenes, and that's it.
Yeah.
But she's there. You can't say that about anyone else.
She's there for, like, guidance, and she gives them phone calls and stuff. She's sitting at the terminal, you know, but
yeah,
no action out of Batgirl.
She's basically a dispatcher.
Yeah, kind
of. She's just sitting in front of a couple of monitors and a keyboard, and she's doing dispatching work.
They could have thrown Alfred in there, like, hey, you need a drink, Batman, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah, because I did. After I lost a save for the sixth time, I needed a drink. Not happy.
That was my whole thing with this game, was just, it shows so much potential, and it's right there on so many things, and it's such simple things that they could have done to fix it up and make it better that they didn't do.
You're right. For sure. Could have been longer. I mean, I know you didn't beat it, Matt.
I could have beat it in probably 2 sit downs.
Right. After if you would have just been able to save.
Well, could save. Figured out how to save. Unorthodox. But yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah, but in season 4 of the show,
yeah,
you have Two-Face, you have Clayface, you have Scarface, you have the Hook, Scarecrow, Baby Doll. There's so many more villains that they could have thrown in there. They could have been mini bosses, you know?
Yeah.
But they didn't even have that, you know? It was, I was just amazed at how stripped down this game was. And the potential was there because the gameplay was, you know, all right.
It wasn't bad.
Right. I mean, there was, I did watch the puzzles when you were doing the puzzles. Them were kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, them were kind of neat, you know, they, but
it's, it was basically like him simulating, like hot wiring the computer system to try to unlock the automated locking doors because a bomb was about to go off or something. But it was tricky. It was like legit, like it was tricky. Yeah.
Yeah, every level though was like a fight, a puzzle, another fight, and then a boss battle. Kinda.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And all 6 levels seemed to be the same exact thing except for different henchmen. You know.
Yeah.
Throw in that awesome Batwing level. Right in the middle. Throw in the Batmobile level, you know, three quarters of the way through, and those were kind of the highlights of the reel, you know.
The Batwing is time appropriate, elite. It was elite for sure. Like, it really tests you, and it's not just like, it's not on a silver platter. Nothing in the game really is on a silver platter. But it's beatable, even without knowledge. So there is that balance, yeah. But as far as, like, you're actually when you brought up Star Fox, what's the first thing I said? I said, but you're going through Gotham. And the city was like very Gotham Batman appropriate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was, I mean, it's cartoon. It's a video game based off a cartoon. But when you're like flying and you're doing your stuff, it's legit. It's not real boxy. It's not like a lot of games like that. Once you get so far into that, it repeats itself, like where it's like, oh, it's the same building, but it's like pretending to be different because it's colored a little different. Like this was good. It was very good. It represented Gotham very well.
I guess I got a question for you, Chris. I got to remember back to the time that this game came out. Do you feel that this game was ahead of its time as far as graphics or behind the times? I just can't place it.
It definitely wasn't behind. I want to say strongly in the time, in the better part of it. Of in its time, definitely, so definitely not behind. I don't remember it being ahead of too many other things that came out about the same time, though.
Right. I mean, I think back then, what, 20 some odd years ago, that I would kind of be impressed by that. Maybe. Now in 2022, we look at it and say, ugh. You know, back then we could have been like, this Batman game is amazing. I don't know. It could be like that.
Yeah, right now it's in that weird spot of it looks like a cartoon, but it's based on a cartoon, so that's okay. Kind of like, you know, Wind Waker still holds up because it's not trying to look real.
Right, exactly. It looks, the looks of it is like a 3D version of the animated series, but the Joker looks the same. And I read that all of the voice actors were the same in the game as the show,
which is so prominent. Like that's big time. I mean, because there's so many. Well, like I brought up the Joker, you know, and that's just me, but that defining like laugh, right, from that animated Joker, and it's in the game and it's beautiful. But when you said something about it being the same voice actors, and then I came across that same information, that's big time.
And you know, not only is it the same voice actors from the new Batman Adventures, they made an effort to get the same voice actors to come back from when the animated series was still just the animated series.
Yeah. That's kind of amazing too, actually. That the same people voiced these characters the whole show. Pretty wild. Wow. Yeah.
Like switching to WB could have been the perfect opportunity to not have to pay some of these people anymore. But they kept all those iconic voice actors.
That is kind of amazing.
I know you brought up what you had just said now at my place, because he asked me the same thing, Chris, about like what I felt about like the graphics. Remember when you were talking about it?
Yeah.
But I retro game often enough to, I guess, not that you don't, Thad, because I'm not going to assume that, but I would say often enough to stay like in tune with time appropriate. You know, I still play Sega Saturn every so often. I still fire up the GameCube and play various games on it. But I agree with your assessment, is that it was not like top-notch, top three games of the time. Not that I could name you those, but it fell in line with everything else that I played on the GameCube that came out right around the same time, and it looked clean.
Yeah, but this is a Batman story. They could have taken that. They could have come out with a better story.
Way better. Way better. That is not even discussing that. But as far as like graphics go, I mean, the game was a good game as far as, you know, what it was based off of.
Oh yeah, there's a reason we haven't talked about the plot at all for this, because there essentially isn't one.
Tear it up.
No. Well, there's nothing to tear up, right? It's like, yeah, there's nothing there. There's no substance. But the Batcave was pretty legit. I haven't played a ton of Batman games. I played Batman Forever.
I'm sorry.
Sega Genesis. You can. So when people are like, "Have you played Arkham?" and I'm like, "Nope." Screw Batman games. You know, it's like, because I cut my teeth on Batman Forever, and then I went to this with the whole save thing. But I don't know if many of them go to the Batcave. This one did, and the Batcave was like, it was kind of simple, but it was really cool. It showed a lot of technology. It showed like a training course and stuff. That was cool. Because I know we haven't gotten a great look into a lot of like the Batcave, but it seems like some stuff that would be in the Batcave, like Batman trains down there. It's dark, it's sinister, and it's his own technology center, like HQ. And it really did actually show that. That was cool. Like the Batmobile was down there. Like, I don't think it showed Batwing, but yeah.
I think from what they did add to this, they got it pretty well right, but they just didn't add enough stuff.
No.
Totally. No. Killer Croc. What about that guy? Killer Croc.
For sure.
So overall, what would you say are the top things that they really got right about Batman? Especially as it pertains to those later episodes of the animated series in this game.
I really liked the Mr. Freeze boss fight. That was cool when he was playing that. That was pretty tight, for sure. You have to use, what did you use, like grenades?
They're like miniature C4. They're like a miniature C4, like electronic explosive type deal, like impulse. And you have to attach them to the canister,
right?
And then pull out your trigger, and then hit the trigger, and then it detaches it from the rack. It's a moving rack, and you have to get it to hit within a certain AOD area of damage for Mr. Freeze to get damaged. But you have to do it like 20 times. And he does not walk. He doesn't just willingly walk underneath him. So, well, do you remember exactly what I said to you when I was doing that?
What's that? Yeah, you got to take your time.
I said, if you rush through this, he'll kill you. And I was like, but it's legit. It's a boss battle that, if you try to speed run it, it's like, it's really not going to work that well unless you have everything exactly timed up. So it probably takes about 3 to 4 minutes. But you just have to be patient. You don't even have to take any damage. But yeah, you kept remarking about how that Mr. Freeze looked exactly like the other one in the voice.
Sounded, you're right. What I guess
you're going to a cold, dark place, Batman.
I guess the overall things they got right would be the characters from what there was, the gadgets and the vehicles.
I'll break you like a child screams.
I can't say they did wrong with this game. They just didn't do enough.
Worth a play.
Right.
For sure, worth a play.
Worth a play. Maybe.
I mean, normally this is where I'd ask where they got wrong, but we all kind of answered that question at the same time as what they got right. It's just do the things better. Because there isn't anything explicitly wrong here. It's just not good enough.
No,
the save system.
Oh, that's a whole different issue.
Yes, true. True.
I'm not wondering if it just isn't you, Matt. Are you sure?
I
It says save game. It says it right on the screen. Are you sure?
I fired the game back up for you to show you that the hour and a half you spent over at our house yesterday did not save. So, and I know that, like, Chris, you weren't like, you were smiling, but am I right about the whole quit game thing? We all know as gamers, like, when you get to a certain point, you're like, I better save this. If you can't explicitly find out how or where, like, you know that it's saved, you never click quit game. Like, it makes you almost just want to keep the system on because you're like, I'm not sure if it even saved. I just spent 6 hours like messing with this crap.
If you don't try to save your game at least 3 times, are you even a real gamer?
This is what I'm saying. And then I'm at a point where there's no area where it says save game. There's just a quit game. And I'm like, what the hell? Okay. And that's when really I thought that it was automatically saving because it tells you that it is saving. Anyway. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What they got,
I digress.
Right. What they got wrong is the story.
Yes.
And how just minuscule it was.
They could have made that universe so big.
Yes.
And the gameplay would have allowed it, I think. I mean, the gameplay was good enough where it would have allowed some of these different, you know, like where there's steaming pipes and stuff that hurt Batman. They could have done some cool stuff with like Scarecrow, you know, because I know he does a lot of stuff with like hallucinogenic like gases and different things, not really poisons, but like gases and powders. And
yes,
they could have done some really cool stuff.
It doesn't represent the show.
That's what I'm hearing.
Enough. For sure.
Honestly, the story to me feels like a lot of those 1940s Batman comics. It's just, it's so simple. Go in there, do whatever you got to do with the bad guy, get out. Which, if that's what they're going for, that's fine. Just don't say you're basing it on the animated series if that's what you're going to do.
Right. Exactly.
So, in a world where this is the only Batman game that exists, because obviously it's not the best choice, but would you give somebody this game as a bit of a primer course if they said they wanted to get into Batman?
No.
This is why we exist. Him and I making nerds cringe. This is why we exist. I'm going to disagree. I did play Batman Forever, so that's for sure. That's not one. The reason I do, I will say yes to answer your question. I will say yes. This is not a bad Batman to indoctrinate somebody in as far as video game / Batman, because it does have some of the like key villains, the fighting style of stuff. But the main thing for me that I would say to get, because you were asking about like getting somebody in like as one of their first Batman games, correct?
Yep. Or one of their first Batman anything, really.
You have all the like, you have all the highlighted people, which we kind of said is a downgrade for us three. We would like to see some obscure guys. They could have done some cooler things with people like lesser known villains, rogue gallery. I would say yes, because there's some very memorable, and you can identify these characters very easily because it's cliche for us three. But the main thing for the game is that there's a lot of checkpoints and there's unlimited continues. So it's like you can kind of get into the game and like suck at it and just suck at it enough until you get to the next checkpoint and then kind of get your footing and kind of feel it out. And see what like that Batman universe is kind of about. Even though it's stripped down, it's easy to digest for what us three are looking for. Maybe not ideally what we want out of a game, but
maybe you're right. Yeah.
My son was digging it. I did pay him $7 to go back through and beat the levels that the game froze on us. That is not a lie. Yesterday after he left, I was like, hold on. And I had like 7 ones in my pocket or in my wallet. And I'm like, if you go back through and beat the levels that we just beat when Thad was here, I'll give you $7. And he's like, you serious? And I'm like, help me out. Cause like, it's like bothering me. I just want to beat the game now. I'm like ticked. But he enjoys it. You know, it's an enjoyable game, and he's never played a Batman game, but he's getting into it. You know, we're both sick of playing the same freaking levels 80 times. So we're looking to get past that. So I would actually recommend this game in a weird way to some people.
9-year-olds.
First experience with a Batman game. I was 9 years old and I played Batman Forever. You don't want that smoke.
No, no, not at all.
And luckily for me, it was like one of 4 games that I owned for the system. So it's just all bad. I just played Mortal Kombat every day.
I'm kind of torn on this for me. Because it is a good sampler platter, I think. But I think I can't get it out of my head about how I wish it was a better sampler platter. It's like if you go to the restaurant and they have a sample of all their apps, but they don't have the best apps in there. I want the best apps.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I personally couldn't recommend it, but here's my question to you, Matt. Is your 9-year-old a bigger Batman fan because of this game?
I don't think that's to be discovered yet, but I think he's going to, like, he didn't really know who Poison Ivy was before this game.
Yeah. Okay.
How about that? He's getting exposure to some of the characters that, like, that's he knows Batman. He hasn't seen the old school Batman with Poison Ivy back in the day, and there really hasn't been a newer rendition of Poison Ivy in Batman, where now he knows who Poison Ivy is. He knows she's like a hot chick that's like dressed in green with red hair. Like, he knows that now. We already knew that.
There is a new Poison Ivy comic coming out pretty soon.
I will be getting that. Does it star Nicole Kidman?
Well, it's a comic, so I mean, you know, whatever you want it to be, I guess.
I'm just joking. Because I'm double in. I was already in before Nicole Kidman, but you had me in Poison Ivy, if that makes sense.
I like Harley better.
Me too.
Margot Robbie is a piece of artwork. Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. Just, yeah. Yeah, it's like that. But I know I'm goofy, but when I'm being honest, like, he didn't even know who Poison Ivy was, so this game kind of did give him some exposure. Like, he knew who Joker was.
Yeah, know? Right.
But he didn't know Poison Ivy.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like for a 9-year-old, you know, it gives him like, or like Mr. Freeze. Honestly, you know, thinking about it, he didn't really know who Mr. Freeze was.
Right.
Because Mr. Freeze hasn't been around since Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was a travesty. Not that Schwarzenegger did a bad job. It was just, it was what it was.
Well, it has been great talking to y'all about this game. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Well, they can find us on pretty much every social platform. We're on Facebook, Instagram,
TikTok,
Twitter.
Our show is on Spotify, Making Nerds Cringe.
Apple?
Yep, and Google Podcasts.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You took my line.
Oh, sorry.
And what's our whole deal about?
What's that? We retell comics' greatest stories poorly.
Generally. But yes, we're out there, and thank you very much for having us on. And I know we spoke off of the air, but we really appreciate everything that like you and a lot of these other podcasters in this community, just the community, it's just strong, and we appreciate it. Like, you know, we're just a couple of dudes that are green making our way and getting a chance to like chat with you and other people about video games and stuff, and it's been very enjoyable, and we do appreciate it.
It has been an interesting week.
It's been a week. I went from hanging out with stuck up people at baseball to you cool ass dudes.
Well, podcasting is all about hanging out with cool people and finding an excuse to talk about fun things.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And as always, we will have links to all your stuff down in the show notes, because clicking links is so much easier than trying to remember how to spell stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank y'all for coming on. And as always, if you want to hear more from me, head on over to playcomics.com, where you can find all the latest of all the things. I know there's a secret little video project that's coming up that one person knows about. Patrick, keep your mouth shut. If you want to help support the show, you can be like some of our wonderful patrons. Kate from Ignorance Was Bliss, Oh No Lit Class, Dan from Gate Crashers, Heather from all the wonderful things that Heather does, including Sunshine and Power Cuts. Past guest of the show, Carl Antonovitz. Join some of those cool people. Help bring the show to life. You are a lot of the reason why the show exists, because I know that people are loving it enough to help support it like that. Also, don't forget that Play Comics is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to a bunch of other wonderfully geeky shows, including Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where I get to talk and I don't have to edit, which might have to change a little bit, but mostly I don't have to edit. Thank you, SP, for that. I love that part. And thank you, Michelle, for being on the show and always having such wonderful insights to go with me and SP and our not wonderful insights. If you like the music that I'm rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. Most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.